Howe in Paisley, she says they are being unfairly targeted.
Obviously, we come under hospitality sector, but my pub is wet sales only, so we couldn't open to serve food or anything like that. So I definitely feel we've been sort of let down a little.
The rules will stay in place until the 2nd of November, when a new tiered alert system will come into force across Scotland. It'll feature five levels. That's two more than the one in place in England. Well, Nicola Sturgeon's rejecting claims contact tracing's being outsourced. That's despite Motherwell-based Ascensos being awarded £1.3 million to provide additional tracers, and Barhead travel staff also being drafted in. The First Minister insists the system will still be NHS-led. Here's Scottish Labour Health spokesperson Monica Lennon.
People don't want to hear the First Minister spin her way out of that. They need to see a plan. We need to know that Test and Protect will be boosted right across Scotland, that contact tracing will speed up.
Nearly a quarter of people have shown some symptoms of depression since the start of lockdown. Researchers at Glasgow Uni say 1 in 10 have had suicidal thoughts since March. Professor Rory O'Connor led the study.
We need to continue to monitor people's mental health and well-being as we move through this new set of restrictions. Secondly, we need to ensure that the most vulnerable have access to the mental health and social support services that they require.
A Shettleston man's being ordered to carry out community service for shouting a racist slur following a protest in George Square. 42-year-old Peter Griffin claims he was a peacemaker at a demonstration back in June, but became aggressive towards police officers. He's also being tagged. And British tennis number one Dan Evans has sealed a place in the quarterfinals of the European Open. He'll face either wildcard Zizou Berg or third seed Karen Khachanov in the last eight.
Take us with you and catch up with the shows you missed. Download the Clyde One app from the App Store.
A wet and cloudy evening ahead, but it should dry up a bit overnight with a low of 10 degrees. That's the latest. I'm Selina Jackson.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon's urging his Celtic players to hold their heads high as they prepare to host AC Milan after Old Firm disappointment. Rangers head to Standard Liège with the Belgians dealing with coronavirus absentees. And Aberdeen saw off Hamilton last night with a 4-2 win at Pittodrie. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi.
And will the fallout from Saturday still continue? Gordon, 2-0 to Rangers, are comfortable win, or is it all about tomorrow night? Celtic at home to AC Milan, a cracking tie, and Rangers away to a COVID hit Standard Liège. And Hamilton Accies, how do they get off the bottom of the table? And for Aberdeen, another great win for Dennett McInnes' team ahead of Celtic's trip there on Sunday, and already surely a contender for goal of the season, that absolute screamer from young Lewis Ferguson.
Well, I thought you were going to say the screamer from Andy Halliday on Friday night there. I thought that's where you were going with that. Right, Lewis Ferguson, not a bad shout either. Andy, on that, it's nice to see you're still talking to us now that you're a goal-scoring member of the Hearts team. You don't forget the wee people that looked after you during the summer.
I'm glad that you've brought that point up to start, so it's been a good start to the show already. But now, listen, from a personal point of view, it was just brilliant to get back on the pitch. It's been a long time coming. It's, you know, February since my last competitive game in the league. So, you know, just delighted to get back on the pitch and playing football again. But, you know, for the team's point of view, it was a great start. It was a comfortable victory.
Hugh Keevans is going about telling everybody he taught you how to do that at the Beat the Pundit break last week. Just wondering if there's any truth in it.
Definitely not. But I tell you what, if there's one thing that's been taught, it's been me with some of his trivia lessons. So, no, but it's good to... I've missed you. I've told you that. I've missed them.
Imagine trying to do that with his loafers on. That would be quite something. Anyway, Andy, on a serious footballing note, what a week. You go from the game on Saturday and everything that that brings with it, whether it be the joy for Rangers and the disappointment for Celtic. And as much as that rumbles on, it can't really rumble on too much because we're straight back into massive European action tomorrow.
Nope, exactly. Came under a bit of criticism by how confident I was with Rangers going into the game, but I was still a little bit surprised at, you know, at how comfortable the game turned out. But no, I think Neil Lennon touched on it in his press conference. There's no room to... You know, to settle and have your head hang too low, because, you know, it's the first game of a big European group stage for both teams. So a couple of tough tasks ahead tomorrow night for both teams, but, you know, a task that I see both of them doing okay in.
Yeah, Mark Guidi, how do you look back on it? I get that it's now Wednesday night, the game was Saturday lunchtime, but in many ways, tomorrow's games are set against the backdrop of the Old Firm fallout as well, because for Neil Lennon's side, it's now very much about how they respond and how they bounce back. And of course, Steven Gerrard, his side, are the ones with the confidence and the momentum.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very comfortable victory for Rangers. Well deserved, a proper game plan. Some of the personnel were brilliant. You could see the way they were drilled, and Celtic just looked disjointed. Even though they had four or five players missing, they should still have been capable of a far better performance than that. I think Steven Gerrard, for me, it was telling in his after-match press conference. I think lessons have been learned from last season, when he said, let's remain humble, keep our feet on the ground. There was no shouting into the cameras this time. It's only game 11, there's 27 league games to go, but there's absolutely no doubt. I mean, I think we all thought it was going to be a proper title race last season. It never turned out that way, but this time it is a proper title race. I did say in the show last Wednesday I fancied Rangers to win. I didn't think it would be as comfortable as it was, but for me now, I don't think there's any doubt that Rangers are the team on the ascendancy. And I agree with the bookies that have changed their minds. I think Rangers are now the favourites to win the title.
Okay, 0141 951 1025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow night? Celtic fans, how important is it to bounce back? Or has the weekend's disappointment meant that you are disregarding Europe and you just want to get back to putting things right domestically at all costs? You tell us, what should Neil Lennon do with the team? Because he's still got some high profile absentees. And of course, Rangers fans, pretty good record under Steven Gerrard in Europe. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow? What sort of players would you be looking to be involved? All the usual pre-match questions, 0141 951 1025. Just in case you're wondering if things sound a little bit different for you, Andy and Mark are in the studio. I am still at home. If the likes of Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel can be trusted with this over the last two nights, Mark Guidi, I'm pretty sure you two can handle it this evening.
Yeah, I heard a wee bit of the programme last night. I picked my daughter up from football training, so I didn't realise you were in the house, and I heard you just putting Roger Hanna in control. But you don't need to worry tonight. You've got two sensible guys, Gordon, Andy's well on top of things. He'll keep me right.
I think I prefer it, Mark, to be honest.
Aye.
I could get used to it.
Do you know it's lovely? You can't see him, but it's lovely. Young David's back. I remember David as a kid starting off in here 13, 14 years ago. He's now the top man, but he's in here. He's not got too big
That's
for
it.
His boots.
Yeah.
He's in here looking after things with Andy as well. Good to see Andy back down the road. Made it all the way from Canada. Come back down the road to see us. I'm looking forward
to
Andy's beat the pundit quiz.
Some team behind the scenes, the gaffer's looking after you tonight, so you must be on your best behaviour. Anyway, 0141 951 1025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear from you all. We'll start with Neil Lennon. He did his press conference first today. So Celtic fans, how are you feeling about tomorrow? Is it the perfect game to try and bounce back in? Is it a terrible game to try and bounce back in? What do you do with the team? How are you feeling about Europe in comparison to the league? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. He's telling his Celtic players to hold their heads high in the wake of Saturday's Old Firm defeat, ahead of that opener against AC Milan tomorrow. The manager says there's no cause for panic after dropping 4 points behind in the title race.
The initial feeling is, we're bitterly disappointed. But, we've got a great game to look forward to. And, we've tried to be positive with the players and they've responded in the right way. So we've had the luxury, if you want to call it that, of getting some days on the training ground together. And then, we move on. We get our heads down, we work hard, but they also have to hold their heads high. There's a long way to go. We're not happy with, the result, but there's plenty of time to improve and bounce back. No, I don't think so. I think the players and even the ones who have come in are aware of, what's at stake. But it doesn't matter if you're going for your first, if you're going for your fifth, if you're going for your tenth. Every year we want to win the championship, and this season's no different. I think the season's been different, in terms of the protocols, the new norm, if you want to call it that, no supporters, and we have to adapt to that as best we can. I don't think the performances, have been really up to the level that we're capable of, and I'm hoping that's going to be turned around as we go along.
Okay, Celtic fans, what do you make of those comments from the manager? He's urging the players to hold their heads high. 0141 951 1025. How important do you see this game tomorrow, Celtic fans? Because I can tell on social media, some people are just desperate to get back to putting things right domestically. Other people see Europe as a vital part of getting your performance and your confidence levels back. So how do you feel? 0141 951 1025. How important is it, Mark Guidi?
Tomorrow night, you know what I think. Well, for Celtic, Neil Lennon said that you've got to try and win every game, particularly when you're at home. But I think it's difficult because Sunday is massive for Rangers and Celtic. I think now, you know, such as the way the title race is going, the importance of this season, of all seasons, that Europe is very much secondary. And I think even more so for Celtic tomorrow night. You know, obviously Neil Lennon will want to go and lose 2-3 to AC Milan, but if you offered him, I'm sure, or any Celtic supporter, a victory tomorrow night or a victory on Sunday, I think it's a no-brainer. It's a victory on Sunday, and likewise for Rangers. But I just think it'll be more intriguing to see how Neil Lennon handles it in his team selection tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, Andy Halliday, what's your own take on the way Neil Lennon's approaching this? He's calling on his players to hold their head high. Of course, they've won so much in recent seasons. A defeat on Saturday, I'm sure it'll take more than that to derail them. But how tough can these games be to get over, do you think?
Yeah, listen, I fully agree with him. I do expect Celtic to bounce back. But I mean, I've been on this show after, you know, Sarajevo, after Riga, after Livingston, and I've been praising Celtic's will to just dig out these results when they're not playing well. But that's been going on for 7 or 8 games now. And we always felt that once the better opposition started, the Rangers, the AC Milans, that they had to up their performance. They obviously didn't do that on Sunday and came away with a disappointing defeat. So I fully expect Celtic to get a reaction tomorrow night. You look at their group, it seems extremely important tonight because it's a home tie, and you feel that all 6 games that they're going to have are going to be competitive, they're going to be important. But I think Christie coming back into the squad is certainly going to be a real positive for Neil Lennon, and like I said, I'm definitely expecting a reaction tomorrow night.
Yeah, Mark Guidi, it'll be interesting to see what Neil Lennon does with that Celtic team, because no odds on Edouard, he's facing more time out as he recovers from COVID. Ryan Christie does come back, but Chris Julian's still out. Near Beaton and El Hamed are still out. So by and large, certainly defensively, it's the same defensive options as it was at the weekend.
Yeah, it's just whether he sticks with the three or he looks at maybe going to a back four. You know, again, you'll need to take into account how he thinks AC Milan are going to like line up and take their strengths and weaknesses into it. But you know, on Neil Lennon, Gordon, and I've said this before, I think I said it, you know, last year, and John Kennedy's a very good coach and he does well there. Gavin Strachan, I don't know, but I'm sure he's a very capable coach too. But I just think that Neil Lennon needs somebody in beside him that he knows, that he's been with, whether that's a Johan Mayalby, somebody he's worked with in the past, I don't know. And I said it last summer, 15 months ago, when he got the job permanently. You know, I was surprised that he didn't bring in one of his own just to be with. And I think, again, in this season of all seasons, I think you need somebody that you can just look to and bounce things off and pick the phone up to different things. You look at Steven Gerrard, he's got, you know, he's brought his own staff with him right from the start. Neil Lennon had his own staff away at the start. So I think that's something that, I don't know if he's thinking about it or not, but it's maybe something that might be missing out with the performances on the part from the players. I think having, you know, just somebody there beside you can go a long way to being successful.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, how important is the game tomorrow? What would you do with the team? What about the prospect of holding the heads high, says Neil Lennon? Let us know. John is first up tonight. He's a Celtic fan. What have you got for us, John?
Evening, guys. How you doing? I would take, as Mark said there, I would take a win on Sunday before I win tomorrow night. But what I want to ask you, Mark, is I've heard sort of a couple of wee whispers here. All's not well with this Christopher Julian. He seems to have fell out of the picture again. He was injured, and then he was back in a sub, and then he wasn't even quoted at the weekend. Do you know anything about this, Mark?
What do you mean, John, in terms of all's not well?
I've just heard there's been a few, and I know maybe it's a bit far-fetched, but I've got a couple of people have said it's another compare situation. I know he's only been out for 4 weeks or something, but I've heard a few wee rumours here, and reading in some of the Celtic blogs, mate, there's been a fallout along the way with somebody. And as I say, I was worried all day.
John, are you saying that Chris Julian, the gossip is that Chris Julian is fit and available, but there's been a fallout, that's why he's not playing? Is that what you're saying?
Aye, mate, that's what I've heard, aye.
I don't know anything about that, and I really don't know anything about that.
Neil Lennon was asked specifically about Chris Julian today. He says he'll be out for another few weeks with inflammation in the base of his spine. So there comes a point where you take it at face value, Mark Guidi, until you know something. If the manager's given a specific injury
and being like, you know, he's out for a few weeks, then, you know, you've got to believe that's 100% the case for sure.
I don't know where your comparison comes from, John, with Marvin Compere. I think Christopher Julian's already got about 50 more Celtic appearances than Marvin Compere did. What are you thinking in general, John, what are you thinking about tomorrow? I know you said you'd rather win on Sunday. I think most Celtic fans would agree, but how confident or nervous are you? What about the prospects of bouncing back in a game like this?
Well, I've actually watched that, and I think even Neil touched on it. I mean, it's quite a young AC Milan team. They're quite gifted, you know what I mean? So I think it could be a hard game for us tomorrow, you know what I mean? But as I say, I think it's quite a good game to come back to after getting beaten at Saturday, you know what I mean? But as I say, I think it's not a bad game. But can I make another wee point, Gordon, before I go?
Go for it.
See, I'm quite a critic of James Forrest, right? As I'm always on my dad's in that, right? But I think he was missed on Saturday big time, you know what I mean? And I think we Frimpong, I've got a lot of time for him, but when you think about things, Man City don't let good players go, and I'm actually worried for this wee guy, the way he dives into tackles. He's going to hurt himself or hurt somebody else, you know what I mean? But I think they missed Forrest was a big miss on Saturday, and I'll hold my hand up because I'm a big critic of James Forrest, you know what I mean? But I thought he was missed on Saturday big time.
Yeah. In fairness to Jeremy Frimpong, you know, not being at the level for Man City doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a bad player for Celtic, so I'm not sure we hold that against them. Andy, is that a fair point? I know a lot's been made about Celtic's absentees, not to make it out to be an excuse, but did they lack a sort of cutting edge going forward at the weekend?
Yeah, I think all you have to do is look at James Forrest's numbers for the last sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons for Celtic, and they've been nothing short of remarkable. So I think, you know, you take away his numbers alone, he's going to be a big miss to the Celtic team. But you look at the, you know, if you're just taking it off the face value of the game on Sunday, I do think Celtic missed that creative spark, someone that can take the ball and, you know, provide that, you know, real sense of urgency within the team and that much of a ball carrier. So I certainly think that James Forrest was one that was a big miss on Sunday, but is a big miss in the Celtic team. And I mean, like I said, I think between Edward, Forrest, Christie, I mean, you're taking away 50 goals a season. So, you know, if you take them out of any team, they're going to be a big miss. But, you know, he's one that he seems to be a bit of the fall guy for Celtic fans when they don't win. But, you know, I think they're certainly going to appreciate him a bit more now that he's out.
All right, thanks to John. Let's keep on the lines and bring in William, who is a Celtic fan tomorrow. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow night's game, William?
How you doing, guys? You okay? I'm a bit apprehensive because I think we're meeting a Milan team that's on the up. You know, they won their derby game at the weekend there, so I think they're on the up. I'm not sure if they'll play their full team or no. I'm not sure if they're going to play Zlatan and I know the boy in the middle of the park suit. So we'll probably meet a rejuvenated side, you know, and players that probably know a full team at Milan side, but the way Celtic are playing just now, I think it's maybe time for a change in shape, a change in personnel, bringing in Turnbull, maybe bringing in Rogic if they're fit enough, maybe giving Lee Griffiths a start, you know. So I think I look at it that way, and I think European football is important to me, you know. I think it's good for the bigger picture, the coefficient, all the rest of it, you know. So for me, it's an important game tomorrow, and it's more important than Aberdeen. As I say, the next game is the more important one. And for me, it's AC Milan tomorrow night. I don't know what the guys think of that.
Mark Guidi, what do you think ahead of tomorrow then? Because how do you find the balance between addressing things that aren't right and not ripping everything up and, you know, and starting again just because you lose to Rangers? Because let's be honest, if Neil Lennon was looking for players that he could drop from the weekend, it'd be a pretty long list.
Yeah,
you know, the guys that have been getting criticised in the show, whether it be Olivier Ncham, Mohamed Elyounoussi, you know, whoever it may be, there were a few below par at the weekend.
Yeah.
How do you strike that balance?
Well, that's why Neil Lennon's a manager of Celtic, and he's got to get it right tomorrow night. And, you know, more often than not, he does get it right. But that's what I'm saying. I think it'll be intriguing to see what he does with his team selection tomorrow. One thing that Neil Lennon's got to find soon, and his players need to do it for him, is find a striker to get into a rhythm. You know, Edouard's a top player, but he's not been in a rhythm for a number of games for whatever reason. So somebody has to emerge tomorrow night, whether it's Lee Griffiths, Albin Ayeti. Somebody needs to go and do the business and start scoring goals and start leading them from the front. Secondly, the goalkeeper needs to stand up and be counted. I said a couple of months ago, I thought the way that Celtic handled the goalkeeping situation during the summer, they were leaving themselves wide open. It wasn't good enough. And I think with all due respect to that goalkeeper, he's not a patch on Fraser Foster. I think Craig Gordon's better than him as well. And I think when you've got David Marshall available in a free, that might have been a better option too. So that goalkeeper needs to start justifying why he's at Celtic before it becomes very, very costly. And for Celtic, they need to start scoring goals, Gordon. I believe that on Saturday, the first time in 421 league games that Celtic haven't had a shot on target. You need to go back to May 2009, Gordon Strachan's team. And that's a damning statistic. And it's something that the forwards and the midfielders have got to go and put right.
Andy, we're going to hear from an Italian football expert a bit later in the show and get a proper insight into AC Milan. But I think we know enough about them in the sense that Zlatan's on fire. They've just beaten Inter Milan at the weekend. Is this really the type of opposition you want to be seeing if you are feeling a little bit fragile after the weekend, as Celtic players might be?
Definitely, because I think this is the type of game and potentially the type of result that can sort of kickstart Celtic season again in terms of not only results but performances. But listen, I mean, AC Milan, they finished sixth in the Serie A last year, albeit they've started really well this year. I think they're 4-4. But let's not kid ourselves, it's not the AC Milan, you know, when they get beat off of Liverpool in the Champions League final in Istanbul and then beat Liverpool 2 years later. It's not that team. So I think Celtic have beat, you know, equal if not better teams in the competition over the last sort of 3-4 seasons. You look at the results against especially Lazio away last year. So I certainly don't think they're going to go into the game respecting AC Milan, but certainly not with any fear. So I do feel as if, you know, like I said, you know, the likes of Edouard and Forrest being out is still, you know, a blow for them. But I do think they'll get a real boost with Ryan Christie being back.
I disagree with you on that, Andy. I think one thing that was paramount again on Saturday for Celtic and what they're going to miss tomorrow night, Celtic players and probably the manager, the management, they're missing the supporters probably more than they actually realise. And I think that, you know, part of the reason that Celtic do so well in Europe is because of the backing they can get. I think Rangers have adjusted to it very, very well, but for Celtic I think that is a clear missing ingredient.
All right, William, thanks very much. Great to speak to you. It's 01419511025 on the lines. Rangers fans, this might be a good chance for you to get involved because we're going to hear from Steven Gerrard next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi are here on a massive midweek for Scottish football. Not only are we just getting over the events from Celtic Park on Saturday, but it's straight back into Europa League action tomorrow night as well. So get in touch with the guys, let them know what's on your mind. 01419511025. We heard from Neil Lennon in the first part. We're about to hear from Steven Gerrard, but let's go straight back to the phones and speak to Michael, who's a Rangers fan in Kilwinning. He's got a question I think might be aimed particularly at Andy. On you go, Michael.
How's it going, guys? Gordon, I hope you're doing all right. Andy, congratulations on your first goal, big man.
Thank you, cheers.
I hope you're doing all right, Mark.
Hi, how you doing, Michael?
But I was just going to say, I'm feeling pretty confident about the Rangers game tomorrow, going away to Standard Liège. I just think we don't concede enough goals to be worried, which might sound a wee bit arrogant, but we've conceded 4 goals all season and been to probably our 3 hardest away games of the year. But I was wondering, from Andy's probably got a unique perspective on this, but what makes Rangers so much better against the bigger teams, like your Celtics in the Europa League games, than maybe we can do it against the likes of Hamilton Accies or Livingston away? Is there something other than just these wee teams don't want to come out and play football against us?
I mean, it's a difficult one for me to answer, because if I knew the answer, I'd love to try to put it right any times I've played the likes of Hamilton at home and whatnot. But now, listen, I've gave so much credit to the work that Steven Gerrard and Michael Beale do on a day-to-day basis on the training pitch. It's very reassuring as a player going into every single game knowing your role, you know exactly what's expected of you and exactly what's expected of the team. And I think, touching on the game on Sunday, I think you've seen, you know, one team that's did the same thing every game, every day for 2 years, and another team that sort of transitioned into a new shape, a new style of play. And I think that's you know, one thing. It was a clear advantage towards Rangers at the weekend, and you know, like you touched on, it's been a shape and identity that's really, really suited European football. I think you know, defensively, you can see how solid the team. You can see how hard they work out of possession to try and close spaces for the opposition, and then in possession, you know, when these teams are out, when they win the ball, they hit teams on the counter attack pretty quickly. And you touched on it, you know, when you're playing the likes of a Hamilton at home, Ross County at home, Livingston at home, you don't have the spaces to exploit teams in behind. So I think that's something that Rangers are going to, you know, try to strive to improve on. I think a little sort of adjustment they've made this season, I think, is they've been a little bit more direct, especially early on in games. I think that's a, you know, a big part of why Stephen Davis, I think, has been excellent this season, because he's the sort of one that's anchored.
Sorry, Andy, what do you mean specifically, like more? Because as soon as you say more direct, you'll think, oh, just long ball back to front. What exactly do you mean more direct?
So, I mean, I've touched on it. I think a big reason why Ryan Kent scored more goals this year is just the urgency to run. It's just run forward, get into the box, run in behind and pick up better position to score goals. He's notoriously been the one that wants to receive the ball to feet, you know, try and beat players and make things happen. So I think that, especially in the attacking sense, it's just been, make, you know, players just make more direct runs into the box to get into goal scoring opportunities. And the likes of Stephen Davis, he's constantly trying to find that pass early on in games. And once you play the passes two or three times, listen, see if they don't work. You know, I guarantee the next time Davis gets the ball, that the defender's first reaction is, I'm going to drop off here, because he's going to try and play it in behind me, which creates that space for the front three. So I think that's something that they've certainly adjusted in this year. I've seen it a few times. I think Willem Twee is probably the best example. You know, the penalty they get to the for the first goal is just a ball over the top. I think the first or the second goal was just a ball over the top. So I think that's an adjustment that maybe wasn't there last year.
Andy, what specifically then did you recognise from the game plan on Saturday? What specifically did you recognise as something that you feel has been worked on time and time again on that training ground and fine-tuned?
Defensively, the biggest thing for me is just having played left-back in that team, you know, it's very, very, very rarely that Rangers leave their full-backs exposed to 1v1 or 2v1 situations. And I think with Celtic playing a back five, we only really two wing-backs in a, you know, either flank, it was very, very difficult for Celtic to create and get, you know, advanced enough up the pitch to put balls into the box or play through in the middle, because it was that congested. And I think, you know, the work that the midfield three do at Rangers is just, I think it's extremely underappreciated, because, you know, if you look at their stats and their data after every game, they're covering 12.5k, and it's just the work they do out of possession to just shift across and cover the full area of the pitch basically is second to none.
Where does the main source of confidence come from tomorrow then, Michael? Is it simple because you've beaten perhaps better teams than Standard Liège in Europe before? Is that what you base the confidence on?
Largely, yeah. I mean, we've been away to harder teams. I mean, Porto, for example, a Champions League team this year, Braga, we beat them home and away. We've seen in these big European games, we just have a knack for winning them. I think we found our level against Bayer Leverkusen, but I take no heart, or I'm never going to be upset that we've been beaten by a £90 million striker, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Andy, I suppose that would be the thing. If you're Steven Gerrard, Michael Beale, and you're trying to recreate that game plan tomorrow, the Rangers players would be pretty familiar with it. We've now been over the course and distance many times. You could rhyme them off, whether it's Porto or Galatasaray or Willem Twee or Feyenoord. You know, the list goes on. And I wonder if were there similarities in the performance against Celtic to the European performances, as Michael mentions, in terms of that element of control, not necessarily battering the opposition and creating chance after chance after chance, but just being controlled in what you're doing.
Yes, I mean, definitely when they went 1-0 up, I think that's exactly what you saw. I think you saw a team that just sort of just try to control the tempo and the intensity of the game and just try to hold on to their league and hurt Celtic on the counter-attack as much as possible. And like you said, it's something that they've done and done very well in Europe. You know, looking ahead to the game tomorrow, I think it's something they're going to do exactly the same. But I mean, listen, it's a group that I fully expect Rangers to go through. But I think the games that they'll really try and push the tempo and be more open and more in the attacking sense are the home games. So I think tomorrow, you know, listen, I don't think Rangers are going to want to play for a draw. But these sort of games, you take a draw and try and win, you know, all your home games. But I still feel that, and I'm confident enough that Rangers will go there tomorrow and win and do what they've been doing in Europe over the last couple of seasons.
All right, Michael and co-winning, pleasure to speak to you. Hopefully you'll give us a call back sometime. That was Michael on the line. Let's go straight back onto the phone lines. I think we've got Craig in Moodysburn. How's it going, Craig?
Hi, great. Good evening, guys. Pleasure to speak to you, Andy. I was trying to go on to speak to you last week. But aye, pleasure to get a chance to speak to you.
Thank you.
I was just wanting to put a few points to you. I've avoided the show the last couple of nights. Had a little chuckle. Obviously, I've been doing the same myself for the last few years, phoning in and saying Rangers need to change this, change that. But my point, I've got a few points actually, but I've got a question for Andy, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question I didn't think I'd be saying, particularly this season. But if Gerrard was to go into the January window, what position do you think he would have to strengthen? Have to strengthen?
Right now, it's a bit difficult for me to answer it, to be honest. I think that I think they did need maybe a further addition in the midfield to sort of bolster, you know, what they've got. If they missed a Ryan Jack, a Stephen Davis, a Glenn Kamara for a period of time, and I think it was a bit more a sort of box to box midfielder that I thought they had to draft in. I think they've done that with Zungu. I know we've not seen him yet, but I'm led to believe that's the type of player he is. I think the one position in the team, if I had to pick one, where the position's maybe not as settled as others, is probably in the right of the front three. I think you've seen, you know, Giannis Hadji, Jordan Jones, Brandon Barker sort of rotate between the three positions. But listen, if I was going into the biggest game of the season tomorrow, I could probably name 10 players that are going to start, and that's probably the one position where I feel as if it's sort of up in there just now. So I think it's whoever performs well in that position has the jersey. But I think if they don't, you know, hit the ground running and one of them don't sort of secure the jersey for now to January, then that's maybe the position I can see them, you know, going into the transfer market.
I mean, Mark Guidi, recruitment is important, obviously, because that's why Rangers now have a much stronger bench at the weekend than they did last season, largely down to recruitment. However, is it not the case that most of Rangers' relative success, and I say that because I think we all know the next step is going further and winning something, but Rangers' relative success at the moment seems to be coming from the group of guys who've been there previously and them getting better and them knowing what's required of them, rather than new signings making an immediate massive impact in a starting 11?
Yeah, it's a great point you make there, Gordon. There's not been a sensational signing, a box office signing, or somebody that's gone in and really lit the place up. So you're right, I think the success so far this season and why Rangers are really looking the part is based on Alan McGregor. Okay, and I know John McLaughlin made a really valuable contribution early in the season, but Alan McGregor, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Borna Barisic, Steve Davis, Ryan Kent, Ryan Jack. So as Andy said there, there's 8 or 9 Glenn Kamara outstanding on Saturday. Hollander looking the part, looking very comfortable. Morelos, you know, playing his part, keeping the Celtic defenders busy. Kima Roof, Cedric Eaton, we're still to really see what they're all about, but by all accounts they'll come and do well for Rangers. So yeah, I think you're right, it's real, it's an old cliche, but it's a real team effort, as Andy says, from the manager and the backroom staff to Gannon McAllister to Michael Beale to the guys on the pitch, you know, the 15, 16, 17 players. It's a solid team effort, everybody knows their job, and on days like Saturday it must be so satisfying for them to see it all clicking into place and the hard work paying off.
Gordon, I mean, you touched on it there, the starting 11 for the weekend, you know, it was all the players for the starting 11 were there last season. I think the difference is now, you know, Steven Gerrard, I'm sure, is trying to make it as much as possible. If he does have an Alfredo Morelos injured, he's got Roof as a replacement. If he gets a Ryan Jack injured, he's got, you know, Joe Aribo, Azungu as a replacement. So I think that the squad now is certainly looking, you know, more bolstered, which I think is massive compared to the last couple of seasons. I touched on it before. I think, you know, look, over the last couple of seasons, Rangers relied far too much on Alfredo Morelos' goals. I think we're watching Rangers do well right now, albeit it's early on the season, but still Alfredo Morelos isn't at his best. Yeah. So you can see, you know, that everybody else round about him that's been there for previous have stepped up.
Okay, let's hear a bit from Steven Gerrard. He says he's looking forward to taking charge of a game in front of fans against Standard Liège tomorrow. He's also delighted with the options at his disposal after his whole squad pretty much named fit, with the exception of Nikola Katic.
We certainly welcome supporters into stadiums. We certainly welcome atmospheres to play in. Obviously, it's only going to be a certain percentage, but it's certainly a move closer to where we all want to be, which is back to full capacities and really exciting atmospheres to test ourselves in and work under. And hopefully, back domestically where we are, we can try and make similar moves to try and get the ball rolling and get fans back in the stadium when it's safe to do so. So it's very welcome from myself and the players, and we're really looking forward to a different atmosphere tomorrow than what we've been playing under. Yeah, listen, the squad's in a real good place at the moment. We still need to get Kamar and Joe Rebo up to speed. Yeah, the squad's in real good shape in terms of health. Everyone's fit and available. There's only Cattage who's not with us at the moment. So I'm really happy and excited to work with a full group of players, because for the last couple of months it's been frustrating not being able to pick certain players who are very good players and who would have helped us.
Craig, very briefly before we let you go, we're a bit tight for time. How confident are you ahead of tomorrow?
Yeah, I agree. I think Rangers always seem to do the job in Europe under Gerrard. What Andy was saying there, obviously they'll play for a draw the worst result. Just the reason I was putting that point to Andy about the squad as well is I think this is obviously a unique season where we're going to be playing literally three games a week, the game tomorrow, Sunday, another European game. So I agree with what he said. I would love to see a front three of Kent, Morelos and Roof when everybody's fit, with Ebo or Scotty Arfield just behind. But yeah, very confident for tomorrow.
Nice one, Craig and Moodysburn. A pleasure as always. Thank you very much. 01419511025. It's a good time to get your call in because we're going to get travel with Stephen, and that means we could be speaking to you next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Guidi and Andy Halliday are here waiting on your calls. Usual number or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're building up to a big night of European football tomorrow for our Scottish clubs. Of course, Champions League football underway at the moment. If Champions League shocks are your thing, then you might be interested to know that at half-time, Real Madrid are losing at home 3-0 to Shakhtar Donetsk. That may please you, depending on how you feel about Real Madrid. But a word of warning, Ukraine, one of the countries that, for the old coefficient, we could be doing with Ukraine, suffering where possible. So that's not a particularly good result for the Scottish coefficient, that Donetsk could go to Real Madrid and wouldn't be 3-0 up at half-time. But
Gordon,
Mike.
Gordon, see, yep. On that, can you just clear something up, please? Forgive me for not knowing. I should know. But you're going to know. I know you're going to give me the right answer, and Andy probably would as well. The winners of the Premiership this season, straight into the Champions League in August of next year? No. Is it a year? No. Another year to go?
So I think we're going to have the two places from the 21-22 season, but automatic right. Place that we're still a bit off, I think. Before, I think, anyway.
Right, okay.
Let me double check that.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I think we've got work to do. That's fine. I don't have my usual resources at my fingertips since I'm in my bedroom. It's a bit more difficult here.
Well,
so
we'll see. Too much information.
See what we can do. See what we can do. Let's hear a bit more from Celtic manager Neil Lennon. He says tomorrow night's glamour tie is what his players need to bounce back.
Any game, but a quality game and one that really whets the appetite, and then there's another, huge challenge for them. I think it's important that we, endeavour to win our home games in the group to give us that sort of springboard or platform for attempting to qualify. I think we're up against a very good side who are reinvigorated, at the start of the season. But then, it's a team that we can cause problems, and obviously being at home, you're looking for a good reaction first and foremost, and strong performance from the core of the players.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's speak to Tom in Carntyne. As a Celtic fan, Tom, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi lads, how you doing?
Hi Tom.
Well, on my mind is, I think Neil Lennon's lost the plot a wee bit regarding some of his tactical decisions. Now, go back to Ferenc Vaca's game when he put Christie up front and he had two strikers sitting on the bench, and his excuse was they weren't fit. I think Adetti just had come up and he said, oh, he's not played for so many games, whatever else. But that was a total disaster. You put your best player, midfield player up front, you'd be well sticking Cham up front for all they made, the difference they made. And then the following Saturday, I think it was against Motherwell, he done the exact same thing. He played Christie up front. I think we got out of jail that day because I think it was McGregor scored a good goal just before half time. Things wasn't all right. Then Saturday there, he puts a young boy, Welsh, who'd never really kicked a ball for us, into the back, three at the back. He plays somebody that's no kicked a ball for nearly what, since July, that boy, the new left-sided boy.
Laxalt.
Diego, yeah.
Laxalt, yeah.
He kicked the ball since July. And then he puts El Hamid up front, Adel Mahoussi up front, and he's got two tricers sitting on the bench. But the point, Mark made the point earlier, that if he's still bringing somebody else in that's got a wee bit of experience, just to calm him down a wee bit and say, Neil, some of the decisions you're making, it's not working. So that's my point.
Mark, what about some of the selections? It's interesting what the names that were mentioned there, because Stephen Welsh, yes, hasn't played a lot of football, but in terms of guilty parties from Saturday in a Celtic shirt, I'm not sure he would be anywhere near the top of the list.
No, he wouldn't be on the list at all. Gordon, you're right. Tommy, just first of all, Tommy, I think to say that Neil Lennon's lost the plot is disrespectful, and it's the wrong tone to use. If you don't agree with some of his decisions, that's fine, but I don't think you come on and use a phrase like that when you're talking about an experienced manager. But yeah, maybe in hindsight he might have looked at maybe a back four, but he's stuck with the a 3-5-2. If you can, since the turn of the year, since Rangers beat Celtic before the winter break, and it worked, you know, more often than not, it's worked well. But it's something that he's going to have to look at again, because when you play a 3-5-2, you're wanting both your strikers to be bang at it, and at the moment Celtic don't have one striker that's bang at it, never mind two. So that's something that has to be looked at. And like I said earlier in the programme, you've got to find at least one striker that's going to get into a rhythm and start scoring goals, start showing up in games and giving his midfield options and giving them movement.
Hindsight's brilliant, Andy, because that's what we're here for. You're always going to do this after the game. Given what Celtic had missing at the weekend, do you think there were any glaring errors in team selection, or was it more about, you know, perhaps the game plan and what Rangers did, obviously, as well?
I think the biggest thing for myself was I was more intrigued to see if they did change to the back four. You know, like Mark touched on there, I think when they've probably changed the shape, in my guess, is to suit obviously the strikers if they're banging form like they were towards the end of the last season, why they got so many results towards the end of the season. But you know, not only, you know, Mark touched on it, if they've not got a striker bang at it, they very, very rarely had their strikers even fit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we've touched on it, they've brought in Ayeti, and you know, we're expecting to see Edward and Ayeti partnership up alongside each other. I think they've started one game with each other next to them, just because, you know, the two of them can't seem to stay fit right now. And then I think when you add Lee Griffiths back into the fold, I still think he's got a massive part to play in any success that Celtic's going to have. He's been a proven goal scorer at this record at this level and for Celtic over the last couple of seasons. So I think, you know, it's any criticism it was Neil Lennon's, you know, team selection, I think, is harsh, because, you know, the team that he's probably going to want to pick, he's not had them available right now.
Tom, just that last clip we heard from Neil Lennon talking about, you know, it being a glamour tie and that can be what players need to bounce back. Is that the way you see it, or are you fearful because you're up against very good European opposition?
I feel as if we've got in Nicholas a good team there. It's just, as I think the panel are saying, it's just getting the right combination, those strikers and whatever else. If you just get that, because we're not a bad team, you know that, aye. But it's hard to predict how it's going to go, honestly. Honestly, I don't know. We could get maybe 1-2-0, or get beat 5-0 the way it is, isn't it, you know? So I don't really know. I can't put my finger on it. No, I'm not confident, put it that way, that we're going to get beat AC Milan.
Okay, let's just hear a bit more from Neil Lennon in terms of another update, because I want to squeeze this one in because I think it's pretty important. Neil Lennon says Ryan Christie is back in the squad after self-isolation, but Odson Edouard's facing more time out as he recovers from COVID.
He's had the cardiac screening, he's had the blood tests, and now we have to, you know, do some physiological work with him in terms of getting, you know, what response his heart rate is to certain exertions before we can, you know, clear him to train fully with us again. So he's just going through the certain health and safety protocols at the minute. Yeah, he'll not be available for tomorrow. We're hoping, you know, again, I'm not going to be definitive on it because I can't. He's going through some, you know, protocols now and testing to see if he's okay to be involved at the weekend.
Mark, I think it should go without saying, but we'll say it anyway, that we wish Odson Edouard well, because there's almost an inevitability about these things in this city. We get a bit caught up in the football and it all became about, oh, listen, it's fine, he's back on Friday night, he might be able to play against Rangers. And you kind of forget that he tested positive for COVID, which is extremely serious. Obviously, it's affecting millions of people across the world. And, you know, his health and safety is more important than whether you can get him back and shoehorn him into a starting 11.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was guilty of it myself. You know, I thought if he comes back on the Friday, Neil Lennon would throw him in. But I'm, you know, sometimes you hear if it's a young fit athlete, you think, oh, they've been tested positive, but you think, well, they'll be asymptomatic, they'll actually be fine, even though they've got it in their system. But we've got to remember that it can absolutely floor you. So that's clearly what's happened to Odson Edouard. It's not the stuffing out of him. So yeah, we do wish him all the best. And it's now up to Ayeti or Klimala or Griffiths. And Andy mentioned, you know, a couple of minutes ago about Lee Griffiths is going to have a vital role to play. Well, he does, and he will have, but he needs to keep himself fit and stop letting his manager down. And that's the most important thing for Lee Griffiths to do.
Yeah, Andy, just briefly before we move on then, what about up front tomorrow? Because Klimala, I'm sure people have a degree of sympathy because he didn't exactly get a lot of service. But on the other hand, a lot of people might be surprised if he was to keep his place in the team after a difficult game. We're not 100% sure, you know, Griffiths or Yeti, fitness-wise, but would you imagine at least one of them comes in?
Yeah, I mean, as a striker, you're only as good as the service you get. But, you know, I don't think Klimala showed enough over the games that he has played throughout the course of his time at Celtic to show that he can offer more than what Ayeti's done so far, or he can offer more than what Lee Griffiths can when he's fully fit. So I think for Lee Griffiths' point of view, he's got another 20-30 minutes under his belt at the weekend. He's had another 3-4 days training, so I'm sure he's closer to try to push himself back into the starting lineup. Ayeti, obviously not quite sure where he is fitness wise, but you know, I touched on it. I think Ryan Christie's going to be a big boost to the team, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, either Ayeti or Lee Griffiths coming in the fold tomorrow night.
Okay, thank you to Tom in Carntyne. We're going to get the inside track on both AC Milan and Standard Liège very soon. But first, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to get the bragging rights and a signed ball, but only if you get more questions right than Andy Halliday or Mark Guidi. 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Step up to the plate. You need to be quick though, the lines close at 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep your calls coming. We're here until 8 o'clock. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. We're going to get the inside track on both Standard Liège and AC Milan very soon. So if you're wondering what your side will face tomorrow, stay right there and we'll tell you. But first, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball and get the bragging rights in, but only if you can get one over on Mark Guidi or Andy Halliday. Let's meet tonight's contestant. I think he's Alan from Hamilton. How's it going, Alan?
Not bad.
Good stuff. Good to hear. Have you ever played before, Alan?
No, well, I've played, but it's been on the radio, but I've not actually phoned in and played.
Ah, see, everybody always says it's much harder when the pressure's on, Alan, so don't let it get to you.
Hey, boy.
Right, good, he sounds confident enough. Right, I'm going to toss the coin. The beauty of this is you two will never know if I'm being honest or not, but we'll give it a go. Anyway, heads, it's Mark Guidi. Tails, it's Andy Halliday. And it is tails, it's Andy Halliday up against Alan from Hamilton. A couple of weeks since you played, Andy, I think, feeling rusty?
I'm still confident, though.
Right, okay, that's fine. We'll find out. Right, if we can give Andy, if whoever is in the studio can give Andy some Clyde 2 in his ear, make sure that he cannot hear Alan's answers. Alan, here's the deal then. I know you've played along at home, but it is different in real life. We're going to put 30 seconds, not that you at home is not real life, but you get what I mean. We're going to put 30 seconds on the clock. You're up against Andy, and if you don't know the answer, pass quickly and move on to the next one, okay?
No bother.
Okay, Alan and Hamilton, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who were the last Italian team Celtic faced?
Juventus.
How many goals did Hart? How many goals did Hart score against Hibs in the 2012 Scottish Cup final?
Five.
What is the full name of junior side Auchinleck?
Auchinleck Talbot.
Which English striker joined Celtic from Scunthorpe in 2010?
Gary Hooper.
What is the name of Morton's home ground?
Capello.
Which Scot is the captain of Norwich?
Grant Hanley.
Okay, let's bring back Andy Halliday. Andy, can you hear us?
Yep.
Great, same set of questions to you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Andy Halliday, your time starts now. Who were the last Italian team Celtic faced?
Lazio.
How many goals did Hart score against Hibs in the 2012 Scottish Cup final?
Five.
What is the full name of junior side Auchinleck?
Talbot.
Which English striker joined Celtic from Scunthorpe in 2010?
Gary Hooper.
What is the name of Morton's home ground?
Pass.
What Scot is the captain of Norwich?
Grant Hanley.
Dick Campbell is the manager of which Scottish team based on the East Coast? Alan, what do you think?
I think he just pipped me there with the Dick Campbell one.
I think he pipped you, maybe. Yeah, he got through one more question than you.
You want to say Talbot, so...
I don't know about that.
I don't mind you questioning it, Alan.
This is going to be really good because if I'm in the studio, I don't mind the steward's inquiry. I can just look at the producer
Capello.
And he gives me the nod.
Capello.
But I'm at home and I can't do that. Let's go through them. Mm-hmm. Right, the first one. Who were the last Italian team Celtic faced? It is Lazio. 1-0 mm-hmm. to Andy Halliday. You knew it, didn't you, Alan? Aye. But you said Juventus first. So 1-0, Andy. I love this one because if you had get this wrong, Andy, you would never have been able to show your face in Gorgie ever again.
Is that why he's put it in, aye?
Yeah, how many goals did Hart score against Hibs in the 2012 Scottish Cup final? Luckily, you got it wrong. It was five. You got it right, sorry. It was five. What's the full name of junior side Auchinleck Talbot? I've got to give him that, Alan. Got to give him it. Auchinleck Talbot. So it's 3-2 to Andy. Which English side English striker joined from Scunthorpe in 2010 to Celtic? Gary Hooper. You both got that. The name of Morton's home ground, Andy. Here's a nice way to remember that ground. It's where you once get sent off for a vile gesture towards the crowd. I remember it.
I wonder why I forgot it.
You still maintaining your innocence to this day?
No doubt.
Which Scot is the captain of Norwich? It is Grant Hanley. You both got that. And Dick Campbell is the manager of Arbroath. So it's a 6 for Andy and a 4 for you, Alan. Alan, that was a decent effort. Never. Andy was just too good for you tonight. Hard lines. Great stuff. That was Alan in Hamilton. Another victory. You lost yet, Andy?
No, but I'm still disappointed with the Capello, but I didn't want to waste too much time on it.
Sorry, was it not 6-5?
Maybe it was actually.
I know it's not your fault, Gordon, it's not Andy's fault. But
I think they're quite simple tonight.
No, Andy, bearing in mind that Hearts are going to play Arbroath on Friday night, and one of the questions, who's the Arbroath manager? Honestly, and one of the questions is about one of the clubs he's employed with.
He doesn't even know the ground that he once gets sent off at, and it's only a couple of miles
away. I don't know if in the match prep you talk too much about what the manager's going to be doing.
Very unfair on Alan from Hamilton, I would say. Very unfair on him.
Right, 01419511025. I did promise you the inside track on Celtic and Rangers European opposition. We are men of our words, so let's bring in a name that you'll be very familiar with, a former Rangers midfielder, but who's going to know his stuff on Standard Liège, Thomas Buffel. Thomas, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening, everybody.
Great to have you with us, Thomas. What sort of team, how strong would you say Standard Liège are? What type of opposition are Rangers expecting to face tomorrow?
Well, to be fair, it was a little bit, everybody in Belgium was a little bit doubting about Standard Liège and at the start of the league because they have a very young squad with promising players, but nobody thought that they would start that good in the league. And to be fair, the new French coach really made already a good connection between the players and they have a good block and they have some players who can force something. So, it will be a tough game, especially at Liège. The stadium is quite hectic. Okay, maybe it's now a little bit in favour with the COVID. There will be no full house, but normally it can really be a fury game in Liège.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the the sort of the fans being back in the ground, Thomas, as you mentioned. How many are we expecting? How close is it getting back to normality in Belgium? Because we don't have any here.
1,000, I think. I don't know. Normally, it's a stadium of 25, I think, but probably now it will be only maybe 30,000, I think, at Liège. I think only 7,000 or something.
Yeah, well, certainly further along than we are. Now, the Liège team, Thomas, have been hit by some coronavirus restrictions. A couple of the players aren't able to play tomorrow. Are they main players? How big a blow is that to Standard Liège?
Well, you have the midfielder, Ross Candy. Yes, he's out, and he's still a young player, but he did really well the last few weeks. He's really box-to-box player who can infiltrate well and see the good moments. So I think this will be good for Rangers. On the other hand, the other two players are not really regular starters.
What have you managed to see of Rangers recently, Thomas? They've had many successful nights in Europe in the last couple of seasons, and of course a win against Celtic at the weekend. Have you managed to see them often?
Last year I saw quite a lot of games. This season, to be fair, I've been quite busy with the birth of my daughter and the family. I didn't see that much games. Obviously, I was always looking to the score sheet to see what the results are, and I was very happy that that they could manage to win at Parkhead and be first at the table and maybe hopefully have a good season and take back the championship to Rangers.
Congratulations on the birth of your daughter. Is that who we can hear in the background?
Yes. I'm on duty.
Quite right. Well, we hope you and the family are well. We won't keep you too long. What type of team are Standard Liège in terms of how they approach the game tactically? What type of team are they?
Like I'm saying, it's a very young team with promising players. Like as well at the back three, you have Van Heusden, who was selected now for the first time for the A team with Martinez. I think first time he is only 19 years old. It's a guy who takes some risk. He's a hard defender, but he'd like to go forward as well, infiltrate, really to penetrate the box of the opponents a few times a game. So that's quite not often you see that anymore, that central defenders really go into deep space of the opponent. So it can be very hectic for the opponent suddenly to see some defender there. Mm-hmm. They have a very young team with some quality players. Normally the best player, Castella, he's still looking for his best form. So he's now playing a little bit more often. He started well in the last game. I don't know how his fitness and automatisms are at this moment. So I think the big advantage Rangers will have is that probably they have a lot more mature squad than Rangers, and on European nights you really need some experience to pull off a good result.
Yeah, do you think that makes Rangers favourites for this game?
Yeah, definitely. I think as well the boost they got to win at Parkhead does give them a lot of confidence to go on and to show them that they're on a good track.
Thomas, thank you very much. We will let you get back to your daughter. She is far more important than us, so go and take care of her.
Yeah, okay, but I'm quite a good multitasker, so no problem.
Great, right. Thank you very much. That was Thomas Bufill, former Rangers midfielder, giving us a very good insight, Mark Weedy, I think you would have to say, on Standard Liège and the challenge that will face Rangers tomorrow.
Yeah, and Thomas sounded confident for Rangers' chances. Standard Liège, just a young team, missing a couple of vital players, one or two of their key players not quite finding a rhythm yet. So yeah, good to hear his confidence for Rangers going and getting another positive result in Europe.
Andy, what you heard from Thomas there, does that encourage you or worry you somewhere in between? What did you take away from it?
Well, it's got to encourage me, because I'm sure Thomas knows a lot more about Standard Liège than I do, and the fact that he's got Rangers, favourites sort of speaks volumes. But he mentioned two or three times there that they're a young team, so you can't imagine they've got too much European experience, which might obviously hold Rangers to an advantage. But I think the onus is on Standard Liège tomorrow to come and try and win the game. I think they're the one that's probably got less expectations to get through the group, so they'll be you know, having a bigger onus in their home matches to go and win it. But you know, I think that might suit Rangers even more. So like I said, I'm fully expecting Rangers to go there and get a result.
What a multitasker Thomas Boofill is. I could hear the babysitting going on in the background. I'm getting distracted here because I can smell my dinner, and Thomas is managing to look after the newborn and speak to us at the same time. That was brilliant. Thanks a lot to Thomas Boofill on the line. Now, I did say we were going to give you the inside track on both sides. So with regards to AC Milan, let's bring in an Italian football expert and journalist, Alistair McKenzie, who's going to talk to us all things AC Milan. Alistair, thank you for joining us. Just how strong are this AC Milan side?
Well, they've got off to a great start this season, and to be honest, that's a continuation of superb form that they've shown in this entire calendar year of 2020 so far. They were by far the best team in Italy after the lockdown. They responded to that challenge better than any other side and finished really strongly last season, have added even more depth to their squad over the summer. And yeah, on the weekend, they got their first derby win over Inter in over 4 years. So yeah, to be honest, they couldn't be on much more of a high than they are going into this game. So.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, once you've set the bar so high throughout your history, Alistair, they're clearly not the AC Milan of years gone by. Having said that, how close are they getting, or are they showing signs of getting back there? Is this the best Milan side since the, you know, in the last 10 years or so?
Well, you know, I wouldn't want to say that because there have been so many fast ons with AC Milan in the last decade, like you say. I think that really since 2014 they've struggled. They've not been in the Champions League since then. They've not mounted any meaningful title challenge since then. You know, they have had, like I said, a great tail end to last season and a strong start to this one. But it's really going to take, obviously, a full year of these kind of performances for anybody to really turn around and say this is a side that is worthy of the history of the club again. What has made a huge difference is that they've brought back Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who wasn't really expected to make a huge impact so much on the pitch when he came back, but more as a kind of mentor to what is a really, really young team. But he's actually been, you know, almost as good as he was when he left 6 years ago and is still looking in unbelievable shape. And their top scorer so far this season hit double figures after arriving in January last year, and he's made a big difference. So I think having a kind of player of that calibre and experience is really energise this team and inject that kind of belief that they need, that kind of swagger that I suppose an AC Milan team should have. And they'll want to make an impression in Europe, even though they'd rather be in the Champions League, clearly. I think that doing well in Europe is obviously a big part of this club's history and something they'll be wanting to do in the Europa League this year.
The league form and the danger of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, they would be the obvious, you know, worrying signs for Celtic. If Celtic fans listening tonight were looking for reasons to be optimistic, would you have any?
Well, yeah, I guess the most obvious thing would be to actually look at the qualifying game that Milan went through, and that's been their least convincing form of the season, really. Was they came through three qualifying games, one of which they only just beat a Norwegian team, Bodo Glimt, 3-2. Struggled a bit in that match, and then you may well have seen their playoff game against Rio Ave, which went to this epic penalty shootout that seemed to go on for about 3 days. And you know, they relied upon a penalty shootout to actually qualify for the Europa League in the first place. So they haven't necessarily fared too well when they're being asked to play these midweek games to travel to distant lands, and it isn't the deepest squad in the world either. So you know, they have been saving their best so far for the Serie A matches, and obviously they'll have put in an awful lot kind of physically and mentally into the Darwin on the weekend. So I don't think there's going to be a massive rotation. I think it'll still be a very strong team that they put out in Celtic Park tomorrow, but I suppose it's one of those things where after such a big result like that on the weekend, it's a question of whether they can avoid that complacency.
Who are the other players to look out for then? I know there is one high-profile absentee. We've already touched on Zlatan. Who are the other danger men?
Well, Celtic have got lucky in a certain way. Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who's been one of Milan's most dangerous players, he plays as kind of number 10 attacking midfielder. He's been ruled injured for this game. But in his place, they're probably going to have Brahim Diaz, who arrived from Real Madrid in the summer. He's a player with a bit of a point to prove because he's not nailed down a first-team shirt yet. And these are the kind of games that he'll be really wanting to kind of light things up. And he's got bags of ability. Funnily enough, one of their biggest threats actually comes from left-back, which is Teo Hernandez, who really plays, to be honest, more as more of a winger than a left-back at times. And he was Milan's top scorer for a while last season, actually, and scores a lot of goals from that position. I think he got 7 last season from left-back. And they really give him license to get forward, produce overloads in those areas on the left wing. If he plays tomorrow, he's played every minute of the season so far, so he could get rested. But if he does play, he is definitely one to keep an eye out for.
Who would you say goes into the match as favourites, Alistair? Celtic are at home, but that perhaps doesn't mean what it once did because it will be an empty Celtic Park. How do you see it panning out?
I think on current form, you can't help but make Milan favourites because they've only lost twice this entire year so far in 2020. Their form has been tremendous. They've beaten a lot of big teams, in Serie A. And, yeah, I think given what we've seen so far this season, given the results that either team is coming off, they have to be considered favourites. But, like I say, I mean, it's not going to be exactly the same AC Milan side tomorrow night. And you just never know how they're going to deal with that kind of the pressure of a big away game, because so far when they went to Portugal and in the other qualifying game I already mentioned, they haven't necessarily stood up to the European challenge so much. So it'll be interesting to see.
Great stuff. That was Alistair McKenzie, journalist specialising in Italian football, giving us a very detailed insight into what AC Milan will bring tomorrow. So thanks again to Alistair, Mark Guidi, Andy Halliday and anyone who's playing along at home. You better sharpen your pencil because I've got a cracking full-time teaser for you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Guidi and Andy Halliday are here. It's 0141 951 1025 to join in. You can tweet as well. You'll find us there at Clyde SSB. Now, I do have a full-time teaser for you. Andy Halliday, I must say, I'm getting dogs abuse on Twitter for giving you the benefit of the doubt on Auchinleck Talbot. Helen Mooney and Brian Marshall, amongst others, they want you stripped of the title. They think it's a tainted title.
Oh, let's not get into that. Come on now.
I'm serious. They're starting a petition, I think. But I thought I was doing the right thing. I think Brian stumbled across who we really need to blame. I'm not blaming myself because you never do that. I think we'll blame producer Andy for writing the question, because Brian says, surely the question should have been complete the name of this junior side.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I think we're splitting hairs now. We're splitting hairs. Right.
Spot on.
Good question tonight. Good question tonight on the teaser. Thank you to John for sending in. And your nightly reminder, it is fulltime at Clyde1.com. Maybe you've sat at home and listened to loads of these and thought, I could come up with one of those questions. Well, that's the address you need, fulltime at Clyde1.com. He's even named it. It's called See You Jimmy, according to John. So here we go. Not including those who have featured for them this season, 11 players named Jim, Jimmy, James or Jamie have played for either Celtic or Rangers since 1990.
Oh, I need to do that.
Okay, see you, Jimmy. Not including those that have played for them this season, 11 men named Jim, Jimmy, James or Jamie have played for either Celtic or Rangers since 1990.
Okay, I'll give you
that. But for a start, so if they've played for them this season, it discounts the last maybe 5 years that they've played for them? So for example, James Forrest.
But he can't.
Yeah, he's not on the list. He's not on the list.
I'll give you two, Gordon, one from each side. Jamie Ness and Jamie Smith.
Brilliant. Well done. See, Andy, it was all right. Your first couple of shows you were on with Hugh Keevans, it was easy to show off because he's hopeless at these, but you're in a higher level of company here. So
I know, but I mean, it's interesting how I'm asking the questions, but then he's already 10 seconds writing down his couple of answers, so it was an unfair head start, but We're not against each other.
No, it's a team.
Right, I'll give you a clue, Andy. Jimmy Bell's not one of the answers, right?
Jim Baxter, no, was that not 1990?
I'll leave it with you. See you, Jimmy. We're looking for the James, Jimmy's, James and Jims that have played for either Celtic or Rangers since 1990. Guys like Jamie Ness and Jamie Smith. We'll get two down.
I'll throw in one more.
Go on then.
I'm not sure, but he might have played one senior game, he might not. Jim Goodwin?
Yes, brilliant. Right. Well done, Jim Goodwin. Okay, we'll leave it there and we'll go back to the phones, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's find out who's next up on the line. I think it's Matt in Partick. How's it going, Matt?
I'm fine with yourself.
Yeah, can't complain at all. What are you thinking then? What's your main thought ahead of tomorrow night?
Well, mate, I'll just dive straight in and try and make try and arrive at some semblance of a sense-making point. if we accept the premise, and I think almost every Celtic fan would, that the only thing that matters this year is 10 in a row, then by definition the Europa League does not matter. Now, this leads to two further things, the second one being the point I want to arrive at. But firstly, it exposes an irony, which is we've dug our heels in these qualifying games to scrape through to get to this luscious tournament, if you like. But this premise will now leave that tournament or render it meaningless. But this leads to the point I want to make, which is should Celtic now, given that context I've laid out, essentially use the tournament, which is the Europa League, to experiment and in the league at home focus entirely on trying to get a settled team that can challenge a resurgent Rangers, and whilst we play our games in the Europa League, put in the likes of Turnbull, where's Karamoko Dembele, play Sorrow, take hits, take losses, but learn and maybe discover gems in that tournament, accept that we'll lose it, and slowly bleed them into the first 11 in our domestic games, such as the threat of Rangers.
Gordon, again, just to, for clarification, do you have to have Celtic submitted their European squad?
Yeah,
I think they have.
Yeah,
so
most of the kind of obvious guys will be on it.
I don't know if young Dembele would be in that, would he? But anyway, I get the point that, Matt's trying to make. And yeah, I mean, you know, somebody like Turnbull, as you would imagine, is more than ready to go and play in the first team. So yeah, I'm not saying that. I said at the start of the show, I think that Sunday is far more important for Celtic, given now what's taking place in the league. Sunday's far more important for Rangers as well, for that matter. That said, you don't want to go and put out, you don't want to take too many chances with your first choice selection tomorrow night. But certainly I think there's room to put in two or three, and especially up front, whether you think it's going to be a lone striker or experiment again with a partnership, in the hope that you can get something to gel or something to work with. It's a lone striker with a number 10 behind him. Just something that works ahead of Sunday.
Matt, let me put it back to you and find out a bit more about your wish or your theory, though. I get what you want to do in terms of separating the two competitions, but in football we always talk about, you know, confidence and momentum. How damaging could it be to Celtic domestically if they mix things up too much in Europe and then find themselves on the end of a really difficult evening?
Yes, believe it or not, I'd preempted this as a retort to what I was saying, and I've always been very much of the belief that being in European tournaments running alongside the league is beneficial rather than non-beneficial. I've never been one of these people who believe that being knocked out of Europe gives you an advantage in the league for that very reason, that the momentum and the feel-good factor that comes with going progressing in both can carry you forward in the domestic league. I just feel that at this point, Rangers have galvanised, and credit to them, to such a degree over the last 2 years, where every ounce of our energy, and I go back to my premise, if 10 in a row is all that matters, every ounce of our energy must go into that. And if that means taking some hits in Europe, and it might not, it might lead to some surprises, positively, that we can bring in at home. I just think we're at a state at this point where so much is riding on it that has to be the focus.
Andy, what do you think? We see teams from other for very different reasons. We see teams from other countries changing things up in Europe and maybe not taking the Europa League as seriously as they should. We're obviously not in that position, but can Celtic afford to be a bit more experimental to try and find a formula for domestic football?
I mean, potentially, but I think Matt will be in a minority of Celtic fans that would be willing to do that. I think they'll be crying out to try and galvanise their season by European performances, which is what Neil Lennon touched on. That's why he's looking forward to this big game. It could be a game that, you know, kickstarts, you know, Celtic's, you know, run of form or kickstarts, you know, one of the strikers getting a couple of goals or whatnot. But it's a competition where I can see Celtic being extremely competitive in. I know they're in quite a difficult group right now, but I don't think it's, you know, I still don't think they're going to fear any of the teams that are in there. But I fully expect Celtic to approach these games in a manner with a full strength team that they've got available to try and win them. You can't underestimate as well the financial impact that Europa League has in these teams as well.
Can I just say one more thing on that? Sorry, go on.
On you go.
No, I'm just going to say I agree a lot with what Andy Aldi said, and I'm not talking about wholesale changes. What I'm really looking for is like dribs and drabs of changes, and we can only make those changes to help us learn about a future solid team in the Europa League now, to give ourselves the best shot at the league. And the only thing I would say back to what Andy said about me being in the minority is, if you were to paint a scenario whereby Celtic don't, like an end of season scenario where Celtic have failed to get out of their Europa League group and not won a single point, but ended up winning the league, I think that would put me in the majority, which takes it back to the point of the 10 in a row thing. And can I just say one more thing, actually? I want to, as a Celtic fan, I really want to praise Rangers and the work that Rangers have done. And I mean, by that, I mean the board and the manager, Steven Gerrard. The clock has been ticking on Celtic getting 10 in a row. And Rangers have known this. They lost the league the first time. They've lost the league the second time. But they've stuck with Gerrard. They've clearly been building behind the scenes, and that's starting to show on the park. And I think Gerrard deserves a lot of credit, and he's not still there just because of his name. I think he's still there because he is an intelligent thinker of the game, and the board have stuck with him, and that's why they find themselves where they are just now. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. And just before I go, I would like to say one more thing, if I can. I know I'm taking up a lot of time here. I do apologise. I have lost my job during this COVID time, unfortunately, and I would like to gently put myself forward to join you at the Super Scoreboard team.
Well, do you know what? At least, Matt, we have had a first for everything. We have never had anyone come on as a job interview. On a serious note, we clearly wish you well. It has been a tough time for everyone, so I don't mean to make light of that situation. If Hugh Keevans ever has to get moved along, I'll give you a call. That was Matt and Partick. Thank you very much. 0141 951 1025. Think Shug's got much to worry about, Mark?
Oh, with any caller, Shug's got a lot to worry about, yeah.
He'll be
I'm not sure about Alistair, the Italian Alistair from O'Guy, right enough. But.
Hold on a second. I didn't say Alistair was
you
Italian.
You did say he was Italian.
I said he was an Italian football expert, which he was. I think he proved.
You called him an Italian journalist, Gordon.
I maybe got my words slightly mixed up, right? He didn't sound Italian, I take the point. But he knew his stuff from
the
AC
Milan. He did know his stuff, but
that's all you need
I didn't
to,
know it was Italian about him, that was all.
Listen, just you stick to trying to figure out where Morton play their home games, right? then we'll build from there. Michael is a Rangers fan in Kirkintilloch. How's it going, Michael?
I'm all right, Gordon, how are you?
Not bad at all. What are you thinking ahead of Rangers match tomorrow, then?
I think we probably can go and play as well as we played at the weekend and possibly win, but you know what it's like in European football now, with fans being there as well, it might be a bit different, but they're used to. So I think we'll have a good game, and I think we probably will just edge it.
I think that's something that, Andy, do you think the Rangers players will be looking forward to, even just a small number of fans? I know it's going to be small, and I know it's opposition fans, but it'll be a nice change after what we've been used to for the last couple of months.
Yeah, definitely. No, we've been preaching about it on here that, you know, we're desperate to get the fans back as soon as it's deemed safe. But I'm sure the players will be looking forward to playing in front of a live audience again. It's something we've all missed. You know, I've watched plenty of football over the last, you know, few weeks, and you know, every game I've watched, there is that sort of period where it's the 10-15 minutes where it's flat. There's no sort of intensity to the game, and you can understand it. Obviously, I've got little experience, obviously only doing it for the first time last week, but you do have that sort of, you know, friendly behind closed doors atmosphere within it, and it's, you know, it's something that as a player you just need to sort of self motivate yourself. But I'm sure there's going to be, you know, there's going to be no issue with that with big fixtures like the Europa League coming up. But I'm sure they're delighted to play in, albeit a number of fans tomorrow night.
Michael, I'm thinking back to these big European nights that Rangers had last season, and every Wednesday night we came on the show and we spoke about just how important Alfredo Morelos was going to be if Rangers were going to get something the following evening. Who are the guys that are carrying the can now? Because it seems to be much more of a team effort without him necessarily having to be at his best in order to get Rangers a result.
Well, I still think Morelos is important because with him playing deeper, it gives people like Ryan Kent more space to run in behind. So even though he's not scoring, he's dragging defenders away or he's doing the 1-2s, so he's still involved in the goals. So I think you can't drop him. He is important to the team now, even if he's not scoring goals. He's still as part of a team. So
yeah, I mean, is that accurate, Andy? Is that the way you'd see it?
I mean, listen, he's someone that's been a massive player for Rangers over the last couple of seasons. I fully expect him to get back to the level he was at. But I do think it's a good sign that, you know, that Rangers are scoring plenty of goals without him being in fine form. But I think that, you know, with Kamal Roof, you know, getting the injury over the last few weeks, it's allowed him to get a run in the team and maybe get up to match fitness, which he clearly wasn't at the start of the season and not in match shape. But I do fully expect him to get back in amongst the goals pretty soon and hopefully start tomorrow night as well.
Right, go on then, Michael. This might be the last chance we get before we get on to tomorrow's show and the match day. Give us the first match prediction of the night. Are Rangers going to do the business?
Yeah, I think we'll win. I think it'll be something maybe like 2-1, 2-0, something like that.
Right, okay. A potentially tight evening in Liège. Thank you very much to Michael and Kirkintilloch on the line. Right, tonight's teaser is this. See you, Jimmy. Not including those who featured for them this season. 11 men named Jim, Jimmy, James or Jamie have played for either Celtic or Rangers since 1990. You've got Jamie Ness, Jamie Smith. Hold on, let me rephrase that. Mark Guidi has got Jamie Ness, Jamie Smith and Jim Goodwin.
I think Andy's about to equalise. I think he might have three belters.
I know that you've got a couple written down there, Mark. Come on.
Right,
ones I've got just now, time. James Beattie, Jamie Murphy and Jamie Burjonas.
Brilliant, that's six. Beautiful. We'll get the other five next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi are here. It's the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That means they've still got work to do on tonight's teaser. Let's see what they've come up with during the break. We're looking for, and thanks to John, by the way, for sending the question in, not including those that have featured for them this season. Can you name 11 men named Jim, Jimmy, James or Jamie who've played for either Celtic or Rangers since 1990? The guys are doing pretty well. They've got Jamie Ness, Jamie Smith, Jim Goodwin, Jamie Murphy, James Beattie and Jamie Burjonas. I'll take one more each.
I'm going to throw Jimmy Gibson at you.
Brilliant shout that is. Can you tell, for the listeners who might not remember, can you give any further detail?
Rangers, I'm thinking from memory, because only played a handful of first team. A winger, wide right?
Yeah, so we're talking about 96 to 03 were his official years at the club. So there we go. Andy, any more from you?
I mean, you said one each, but I wouldn't be that type of guy. I'm not stealing it off Mark. So the only person that produced over the break was Mark, so I'll let him go again.
I've got two oldies going, because I'm just thinking 1990 specifically, try to go right back. So I've got two Rangers. Anyway, I'll throw him at you. Jimmy Phillips?
No.
And the only other one I've got then, and I don't think so, but I'll throw him in, Jimmy Nick?
No. Right, all right, okay. Leave it there. You've still got a bit of work to do. Let me see what the break. I'll point you in the right direction. You're still looking for
any goalies in there?
One. Hold on. One, two, three, four Celtic still to go. So that means you're only. Does that mean you've done all the Rangers ones?
Yeah, we've done all the Rangers. Then.
Yeah,
four Celtic.
Yeah, so you're looking for four Celtic.
We've only got six now.
Seven.
Nah, you've got seven. Added Gibson on. There's some good answers coming in on Twitter. Colin Johnson's got loads of them. I do like, and I'm sure it was an accident, but he's just thrown in James Rossiter. I don't know if he's just changed Jordan Rossiter's first name just to try and squeeze him in. Rostradamus is struggling, so he's gone for Jamie Frimpong and Jimmy Douay. Neither of them make the list, unfortunately. And Greg Johnson's gone outside the box. He says that James Callahan Chick Charnley once played for Celtic in a friendly. No chance you're getting that. Absolutely no chance. Right, let's look at some Premiership action that we had last night. What a game we had on our hands. Aberdeen getting back to winning ways with a 4-2 win against Hamilton. Tommy Hoban, Lewis Ferguson and a Ryan Edmondson double had the Dons 4-0 up inside half an hour, but the Ackies rallied to get two back through David Moyle and a Ross Callaghan penalty. Let's hear from Aberdeen boss Derek McInnes.
Some of that play in the first half, the interchanging with Wright, Hedges, Watkins and Edmondson, Hayes, was very good and very pleasing. So, no, for Edmondson to get two goals, two penalty box goals really, and then Ferguson's goal, such a sweet spot. He's hit it right behind it all the way. We're doing well to get a better strike than that this season. So, a fantastic start for us. But we lose a goal, we're down to 10 men with Johnny going off. Disruption didn't help us, but we've got to be better than that. The type of goal we lose, you know, I still think we need to stop the cross and then we need to defend the cross. Very unlike us because we've been, I think we've had the second most clean sheets in the league and I've been really pleased with how miserly we've been. But that type of goal isn't like us. You don't need to give Hamilton too much encouragement. They're a brilliant club, a brilliant bunch of boys. They give their manager everything. They might be bottom of the league at the minute, but they're top of the league in first spirit and never giving up. I watched them Saturday, 3-0 down. And 3-0 down against St Johnston, and they still nearly get something for the game. So we'd spoke about that at half time. A fully committed bunch of boys can play, and they always ask the question, and credit to them for that.
Mark Guidi, a good win for Aberdeen up there at Pittodrie, yeah. And I think you mentioned it earlier on, Lewis Ferguson's goal is the pick of the bunch. If you've not seen it, go out your way to find it.
A proper screamer. He certainly didn't learn that from his dad. He must be getting that on his mum's side. But that was a proper goal, you know, good enough to grace any stadium for sure. And that was a brilliant goal.
Andy, Aberdeen racing into a 4-0 lead. I wonder if this is how worrying a theme this is for Hamilton Ackies, where two games in a row they've fallen behind drastically and then they've done that Hamilton thing where you just never quite know what you're going to get from them, and they actually show some fight and determination and they end up not getting a complete doing. But I'm sure Brian Rice would rather his team didn't fall 3-0 and 4-0 down very quickly in games.
Yeah, I think that's based off the way that Hamilton try and play. I've watched a number of other games this season and you know, Brian Rice has got them playing a certain style of football where he does want them to try and get their foot in the ball and dominate possession, create chances. But you know, it's always going to be a tough ask for them going up to Pittodrie and playing an Aberdeen side that have started the season really well. And you touched on Lewis Ferguson, you know, standout strike not only, but one of the standout performers in the league this season, and managed to add goals into his repertoire this season as well. Obviously taking penalties in the absence of Sam Cosgrove, so it was a good victory for Aberdeen and a disappointing for Hamilton.
Yeah, I think he's joint top scorer in the Scottish Premiership, Andy. As you rightly say, penalties obviously contribute to that, but when all's said and done and you start looking at goal totals, you know, people don't always pay attention to whether they're penalties or not. So, you know, if you're a midfield player who's scoring, you know, a dozen goals a season, whether they're penalties or not, that does wonders for your reputation, doesn't it?
Yep, definitely. And I mean, goals get you moves as well, so I'm sure that there'll be a number of clubs watching Lewis Ferguson's performances and taking notice with the amount of goals that he's managed to score for Aberdeen this season. But you know, he's been one of a number of players that have done well for Aberdeen so far this season. And listen, they'll be going into the game against Celtic at the weekend full of confidence.
It's good to see some good midfield players in the division, Mark, and doing it for you know, for the Scotland under 21s as well. Lewis Ferguson, Alan Campbell's had a lot of praise this season. Ross McCrory stepped up and helped out at, you know, the Scotland A squad in the last international break. Is there a growing sense, and I know Aberdeen fans and Derek McInnes won't want this to be rushed along, but is there a growing sense that Lewis Ferguson does have the next step in him soon?
Yeah, I would think so. There certainly was a bit of interest in him in the last window. I don't think clubs are given any encouragement by Aberdeen, despite the financial situation going around the country. But yeah, Lewis Ferguson looks like he'd be ready to make that step up. I think, you know, the rest of the season at Aberdeen, and it's a win-win, because I think Aberdeen, the exact figure was ever made public, but did they get him from Hamilton for about maybe 250-300 grand, which is an absolute bargain. Yeah, and you know, Derek McInnes clearly identified something in him and signed him when he'd only maybe, you know, 12-15 first team games for Hamilton under his belt. So I'd imagine that, you know, they'll sell him for 8, 9, 10 times that amount. There'll be a sell on added on too, and there's no doubt that Lewis Ferguson can go on to a bigger and better league.
the table's a little bit skewed, Andy. I feel like it's been a very disrupted start to the season. Some teams have played 9 games, some 10, some 11. But as things stand at the moment, Hibs are in 4th on 21 points. You have 7 points behind them with Kilmarnock in 5th. Is that top 4 already starting to look set for you?
I mean, it's 4 clubs that you'd fancy to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. I still feel like that Motherwell should. I know you'll be delighted that I'm saying this, but I'm sure that Motherwell have got a big part to play from now to the end of the season. I think Kilmarnock have been there or thereabouts over the last couple of seasons as well. But I certainly feel as if Aberdeen will be there come the end of the season. And I think, you know, we're watching a Hibs team that seem as if they've improved again under Jack Ross. So, yeah, I do think they could be there, but I think a couple of teams will surely have a say about it come the end of the season.
Okie doke. Let's turn our attentions to tonight's full-time teaser. I think you're still looking
give
for
it a miss, God,
four more. Mark Guidi will carry you home.
No,
I think
I'm toying a wee bit, Gordon. I'm going to need a couple of clues. Struggling? If it's 4 Celtic players, I've been trying to rack my brain. But the one, obviously, it's annoying me if it's going right back to 1990. So you're going back to Billy McNeil's second spell just before Liam Brady.
Right, I'll give you some clues. One, funnily enough, as Andy mentioned it, here's my tenuous link for the night. He just mentioned Motherwell. This guy went on and played for Motherwell. And he also was fond of playing the guitar, if that helps you.
Oh,
at all.
God. Jim O'Brien.
Jim O'Brien,
well good done. Trout. Right, okay. What else have we got on here? Okay, still playing in the Scottish leagues, the Scottish Premiership. His dad was a player as well, and his dad is still employed at Celtic. Defender.
Oh, Jamie McCart.
Yep. Okay, right, we're running out of time now. 92-96, Mark also played for Partick Thistle.
Jimmy.
Right, I'll need to put out your misery with these, I think. Jim Slaven.
Oh, Jim Slaven, yeah, Jim Slaven.
And the last one's a Jamie, 93-95.
Oh, Jamie McQuilkin.
Jamie McQuilkin, there we go. It was a team effort. I think Mark Guidi doing a lot of the heavy lifting, but you chipped in with your contribution.
Good question from John. I like that. Good question.
You can tell. You can tell Mark's age at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much to Andy and Mark. Thanks for all your calls and tweets. We are back tomorrow night with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. We'll speak to you then.